A word snuck back into Wall Street today, and that word was volatility. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 18th day of June, and for those of you celebrating the new federal holiday, happy Juneteenth. In other business news, from the chicken sandwich war to the oat milk war, the U.S. retreat from ocean shipping is shocking. Pot, workers, and cars. It's a story. We've got the Wall Street Report, and employers are warming up to Juneteenth. And because it's Friday, Jeff Pitts from CityView is in to talk about lots of stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at ntpda.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful that you are along for the ride again today. Well, before the markets opened, the Dow futures indicated the 30 industrials would open 300 points down. And by the end of the day, the Dow would lose more than 500 points. Meanwhile, St. Louis Federal Reserve President James Bullard told CNBC he thinks the Fed should raise interest rates as soon as the end of next year. All of that brought back the days of volatility, and I'll share the numbers from Wall Street with you in just a bit. It's game on with oat milk. CNN is reporting that the oat milk war is in full swing. You know, back in March, Starbucks rolled out the option only to sell out a month later. Silk added oat milk to its line of plant-based milks in April. Oatly had a splashy IPO in May. And a slew of new ad campaigns with jaunty music and cheeky banter are vying for your attention. All of that is because there's a lot of money at stake for brands selling the increasingly popular dairy alternative. Sales of the item were about $316 million for the year that ended on May 29th. That's still a small market compared to the non-dairy milk alternatives overall. That's about $2.2 billion. But oat milk is up about 1,200% over the past 2 years. That means that in North America, there may well be an even bigger oat milk boom coming. And with Oatly, the Swedish company that helped popularize the product, still struggling to meet demand as it works to expand production capacity, it's a perfect time for competitors to jump in. And while almond milk is still leading plant-based milk categories in the United States, oat milk sales have exceeded those of both almond and soy milks in the United Kingdom and Germany over the past few years. So yeah, watch for more here. Everybody is talking about it. The issue of supply chain problems, and much of it has to do with cargo ships. Today, Business Insider had what is a shocking report about the U.S. retreat from shipping on the ocean. Back in 1960, when the world moved 1.2 million tons of goods via ship, the American fleet comprised 16% of the world's total cargo shipping power. By 2019, global trade shot up by 10.7 million tons, but America's domestic carriers are moving just a sliver of it. The U.S. Merchant Marine now makes up just 0.2% of the world's vessels. Meanwhile, the U.S. consumes the most goods moved by shipping container of any country, which is how lawn chairs, yoga mats, and basically everything else you buy moves from factories in Asia to stores in North America and in Europe. The shipping crisis has been the talk of 2021. Unprecedented trade volumes have sent freight prices to record highs. And as ocean supplies hamper Americans' access to, say, life-saving electric generators or surgical masks, consumers are dependent on a trade network entirely out of their control. So what's happening? Well, according to Rachel Premack of Business Insider, there are two really big reasons. One is a lack of government investment into shipping, and two, a loophole that lets ship owners register vessels abroad. She writes that throughout the 1960s and 70s, taxpayers were spending billions per year to support the building and operating of American ships. America's new role as a thought leader, rather than active manufacturer and operator in shipping, was sealed in the early 1980s. That's when, under the Reagan administration, the government stopped writing new contracts to subsidize American maritime giants. Predictably, America's two biggest cargo carriers began pulling out of the U.S. by the next decade. Where did the ships go? Well, those new ships, docks, might surprise you. Panama, Liberia, and the Marshall Islands. Those three countries have the most ships by deadweight tonnage registered with their flags. And it's thanks to a trick in which a ship may be owned and operated by one group but registered in another country. About three-quarters of ships are registered in a country separate from where they're owned. And why is that happening? Now, the reason for all this complexity is, of course, that it saves money. Registering your ship, say, in Panama, means you can hire cheaper labor, deal with fewer pesky safety regulations, and avoid income taxes altogether. Meanwhile, the U.S. is out of the market when it comes to paying attention to shipping, and that has caused major headaches for manufacturers and consumers. And you know, paying for infrastructure is not a sexy thing, right? But it could help the U.S. gain a foothold in a business that we once ruled. If you've been in the market for a new car, you know what's up. There's a limited supply, and that's mostly due to a lack of parts, including semiconductor chips. But over at GM, there may be another reason. The Drive is reporting that one of the biggest obstacles in hiring new workers, according to the Detroit Free Press, is that they simply aren't as plentiful as they once were, that is, the workers. And those looking for jobs may not fit the optimal worker pool for GM. And to make matters even more difficult, many of those who are a good fit either reject the sub-$17 per hour starting wage or are unable to pass the automaker's drug test, which includes screening for cannabis. Now, don't get me wrong, being stoned and working on an assembly line might not be the safest mixture, but pot while not on duty? To put the last point into perspective, cannabis is legal in Michigan. In fact, medicinal use has been allowed there since voters helped pass it into law back in 2008, making it the 13th of 36 states that permit the use of the drug for therapeutic or health reasons. Recreational use is also permitted in Michigan, making it one of the 16 states where it's either decriminalized or outright legal. GM has five assembly plants in the state of Michigan, plus several propulsion factories, metal centers, and component holding facilities. You'll also find its sole tooling center and battery assembly location there. Yet the use of cannabis is forbidden for its employees. Now, to make matters even more complicated, employee drug screenings are performed on hair specimens, meaning it can trace the use of substances, including cannabis, for weeks. Weeks. Yeah, we have met the enemy, and they are us, so to speak. Well, today the Dow fell by more than 500 points and posted its worst week since January. So what's going on? Well, traders are worried about the Federal Reserve and where the monetary policy is headed. At the bell, the Dow fell by 533 points to 33,290. That's off by more than 3% and almost as bad as the 3.3% decline the last week of January. The S&P 500 fell by 55 points to settle at 4166, and the NASDAQ, which was the only gainer yesterday, fell by 130 points, finishing the day and the week at 14,030. So what spooked the markets was new talk by St. Louis Fed Chair James Bullard, who said interest rate hikes could start as soon as the fall of 2022. And that is a full year earlier than what was discussed just this past Wednesday. In bond markets, the 10-year T-note fell to 1.445%, down from 1.509% yesterday. So look for mortgage rate adjustments soon. And finally, there is this. Companies are marking Juneteenth in a variety of ways. Even before the bill making it a federal holiday was signed into law, a growing number of major employers, including Nike, Target, and JCPenney, embraced it as a holiday. According to Fast Company, a campaign by a group of Bay Area professionals called Hella Creative deserves credit for turning the tide. They mobilized in the wake of George Floyd's murder to educate the public and lobby companies to commemorate Juneteenth with a day off. And because of their efforts, more than 800 companies pledged to make Juneteenth a paid holiday for workers. And while that's great, maybe we should be spending some time taking a look at median annual wages by black workers. According to a new McKinsey Global Institute report, black workers' median annual pay is still about 30% lower than that of white workers. According to the report, if wages were equal, black Americans would have around $220 billion of additional annual income, and that is an issue for the economy. All right, that's a wrap for the news, but stick with us because Jeff Pitts and I are going to get super hyper-local with stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro with City View Magazine, and that is just a click away.